here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello, and welcome to the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I'm Ryan McQueenie, a content writer here at Zach's, along with one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Yes, today is Friday, September 8th, and we're here to recap this week's biggest stories from the investment and financial world. So here's kind of the part where one of us will typically mention the strange or annoying weather we've been seeing in Chicago. It is cold. I've been wearing my trench coat.
We could still do that.
We'll still do that. It is nice, though, with the, I've been sleeping with my
fall,
with my air conditioning off, windows open. But on this week's show, we're actually going to be talking about weather the entire way through.
It's a weather special. This is doesn't seem like something that we would come up that would come up much as a factor for anything in a finance podcast. But we, of course, know that hurricanes have been in the news quite a bit lately, and their impact is starting to spread into our world of investing. So it's the hurricane special, the weather special. Not necessarily a good thing, but a lot of headlines to cover here.
Yeah, and of course we want to say that our thoughts are with everyone and anyone affected by Hurricane Harvey, especially those in Houston, in the Texas Gulf Coast, Southeast Louisiana, those in the Caribbean islands that Irma has just torn apart. But today we want to take an investor's perspective on those storms. They've clearly started to have an impact on the economy. So let's take a look at oil and gas prices.
Yeah, so this, I think, outside of the costs associated with repair and recovery, which are obviously going to be massive, triple-digit billions, especially if you look at globally with Irma and its devastation already of the, as you mentioned, Caribbean islands. I think the next logical area outside of those costs of economic impact from these storms is the energy sector, especially considering the importance of the Gulf region for domestic oil production. So on Thursday, actually, U.S. oil prices edged lower after the government reported the first climb in domestic crude inventories in 10 weeks. So this gain in stockpile was actually a direct result of the refinery shutdowns in Texas, which, of course, then reduced overall demand for oil. Interestingly enough, however, oil prices were still up on the week, but analysts are saying that we should see continued stockpile buildups, at least for the next few weeks, as these refineries slowly come back online. I think I read on Thursday afternoon that there were still about four refineries in Texas that were completely without operation yet. And overall, U.S. refinery production was only at about 80% of its normal capacity this week. And then I think that, I mean, it, as you're talking energy, the next thing to talk about there is gas prices. Of course, we have to remember oil and gas prices don't always go hand in hand. And in this case, we obviously expected to see soaring gas prices due to the refinery shutdowns and also higher demand from people evacuating Texas, Louisiana, Florida, the Gulf region overall. According to AAA, the national average price for a gallon of gas was $2.65 this week, which was up 27% week over week. So we're actually nearing a two-year high of $2.67 per gallon that was reached in the late summer of 2015. It was like the second last week in August, so almost exactly 2 years ago. So gas prices at the highest levels we've seen in almost 2 years as a direct result of these issues. Not really surprising, kind of, when you think about hurricane season. Always something that seems to be having an impact, but obviously with these two major storms, seems to be a relatively unprecedented hurricane season. Of course, obviously also having an impact on consumer spending. And we saw a lot of noticeable trends this week in the travel sector.
Yeah. So Harvey-related inflated fuel prices, thousands of canceled flights due to both storms, and Goodwill-related price caps on flights out of Florida due to Irma caused shares of major U.S. airlines, including the biggest carriers, to fall on Thursday. So you have United, American, Delta, Hawaiian, JetBlue, and Alaska. Saw their share prices drop. United in particular had a tough week as it revealed the full scope of the impact it has felt from Harvey. Houston is United's second largest hub, number one is Chicago, and the company was forced to lower its quarterly PRASM guidance, that really important airline factor. Guidance this week due in large part to the storm. In fact, United reps called Harvey that outside event with, quote, the largest operational impact in history, unquote. UAL shares are down more than 5.5% since last Friday's close. Also in the travel and tourism sector, cruise companies were hit this week too. So you have liners like Carnival, Norwegian, and Royal Caribbean are the big names there, and all three stocks were all in the red on Thursday in particular. Also, just travel stocks. I think Trivago was hit, too, earlier this week.
Yeah, Trivago
for... the whole sector was down.
Trivago for their own guidance warning. And, yeah, we saw a lot of movement in those online booking platforms. The cruise one, to me, was the one that was the most... Oh, yeah, I guess that is a big impact. You're on such a small boat in the ocean. But there's no escaping the storms. And there was, with Harvey and Irma, some major cancellations and rerouting. And then on top of that, you have the refunds that go into kind of making up for things for customers, costs associated with keeping people on board in certain areas they weren't planning on being.
Ritz-Carlton really needs to start making those yachts now, right?
Sure.
You remember when they announced that?
Explain the whole thing.
Oh, well, I don't know. It was like a few months ago, but Ritz-Carlton announced they were going to start making yachts. So not huge cruise ships, but like small, luxurious yachts.
Cruises for people that can't stand other people.
Exactly.
Cruises for people but so wealthy they don't want to go on cruises with the normal people.
The point of like a yacht like that was to be able to dock into a city like, I don't know, just like a city that a regular cruise ship is too big to dock in.
Okay. So that would have been something to be on this week, so you could outrun the storm and get to a normal.
They're like absurdly expensive. It's just like the whole idea is just crazy to me.
I've never been on a cruise ever, so
I haven't either.
The idea of that to me is crazy as well, but I would have to imagine being on a cruise and also being on a cruise in a Category 5 hurricane, not a good combination, not a fun combination. So yeah, that was definitely a full sector that we saw an impact on. This next one took me a little bit by surprise when I first saw the headline, but actually, you know, does make logical sense. Kind of more in this consumer spending space. Restaurant stocks had a tough week, specifically in areas that are in the Irma evacuation zone. We saw a lot of restaurants with large presences in Florida in particular.
And that's the caveat.
Right.
So not like all restaurants.
Well, of course. Yeah. Yeah. So people going to be a little bit less busy this week as people flee and evacuate, specifically the state of Florida. Although I saw Thursday afternoon, Georgia's governor calling for evacuation of Georgia along the coastlines as well. So really just any of these big restaurant companies with presences in the southeastern United States.
That's probably a good call. Yep.
Fiesta Restaurant Group, which operates Taco Cabana, not something I'm familiar with.
I know.
37% of Fiesta's restaurants are in Florida. So that was something that was a company that's obviously going to have a huge, impact here. Down nearly 13% from last week's close. Ruth's Hospitality Group, they own Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, dropped about 5% on the week. Outback Steakhouse owner Blumenbrands, one of my favorite names here, down roughly 6% since last Friday. And then a couple other names that were in the red this week, BJ's Restaurants, Olive Garden and Red Lobster owner Darden Restaurants, Chili's owner Brinker International.
And their ticker is EAT. I mean, amazing. It's just perfect. Everything about that is perfect.
Cracker Barrel, classic road trip food there. Mm-hmm. And Cheesecake Factory also hit this week. So these kind of big household name chain restaurants.
The biggest thing for restaurants is that if you have to close like a specific location in Florida, and the owner, or if it's franchise, the franchise owner, let's say they can't afford the finances to reopen it or renovate it after
damage.
If it's in or near Miami. Mm-hmm. So like that's like the biggest concern with these restaurant names here is that if you have to close, will you be able to afford to reopen up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even when you just think about the duration of this as well, we're talking about evacuation starting on Tuesday this week, and the storm not supposed to make landfall until Sunday.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking about Tuesday to, you know, next week sometime at the earliest, next Tuesday, so a full week of being closed. Obviously, you're not closed the entire time that there's an evacuation, but you very well could be if you're right in the middle of one of these evacuation zones and all your employees are being told to leave. You don't have the people to work there. And on top of that, all your potential customers are no longer there. So maybe up to a week of non-operation. For a company like Fiesta, which has 37% of its restaurants in Florida, assuming a significant number of those are non-operational this week, does make sense that this would have an impact on their bottom line. And yeah, I guess I didn't even think about until you just mentioned, like, you come back and there's a debris in your restaurant that's going to be even more cost to repair.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if you even think about the structure of a restaurant, you've got these big glass windows and the large targets for debris and wind to damage, which kind of leads us naturally into the final thing we wanted to talk about this week, the people who are going to be responsible for footing the bill for a lot of that damage, insurance companies.
Yes. So Hurricane Irma, as well as the aftermath of Harvey, has also taken a toll on the broader insurance market this week. And this past Tuesday marked one of the worst days of 2017 for insurance stocks. So, and Thursday really was no better. The S&P 500 Insurance Industry Index, or IUX, was down over 2% in afternoon trading yesterday, and it was on pace for what could have been the its worst daily performance since Brexit lows last summer.
And that was no fun.
Whatsoever. And the S&P Insurance ETF was down roughly 2.5% on Thursday alone. It also hit that low-ish on Tuesday as well. So just not a good week in general for the insurance sector. So like other industries, like we talked about restaurants, airlines, travel, cruise liners, insurance companies with a huge presence in Florida in particular are being hit the hardest. HCI Group, known for its largest subsidiary, Homeowners Choice Property and Casualty Insurance Company, was down over 10% on Thursday.
Can I just say something while we're on this? You're going to read a bunch more insurance company names.
I am.
They're not very good at naming
companies.
That's a very boring
They're
name.
A little... They
very
are boring.
Very literally exactly what it is.
Boring. very important.
Yes, very important.
So yes, down over 10% HCI, Universal Insurance, can't say insurance, which is based in Fort Lauderdale, was down nearly 15% yesterday. Heritage Insurance Holdings and United Insurance Holdings are two other Florida heavy insurers that were hammered this week as well. But companies who offer reinsurance, and this is when multiple companies purchase insurance policies from other insurers to limit the total loss the original insurer would experience in case of a disaster, aka like Irma,
yes,
are also at risk.
Disasters like hurricanes.
Yes. So companies like Everest, RE, trades under the ticker RE, and Renaissance RE, for example, were down around 6.7% and 3.6% on Thursday as well. So just like a broad range of insurance companies,
mm-hmm.
particularly ones that offer homeowners insurance.
Yeah.
It just wasn't a good week for them.
No. And that one, I guess, again, too, might not be the first thing you think about, but definitely something that makes sense as we're talking about what could be catastrophic damage, has already been catastrophic damage. Now kind of at the time of this recording, we're looking at damage in starting to hit U.S. territory in
Puerto Rico
and the Virgin Island, U.S. Virgin mm-hmm. Islands. Obviously there's an international effect as well with the other Caribbean islands. And I think that it gets us to a great point to wrap up in that, we did take this investment focus and we wanted to look at specifically stocks and industries that were being affected here. But at the end of the day, the most important thing is human life. And so as you started the show, Maddie, and I want to end on first and foremost, the most important thing here, as I said, is the safety of everyone who's been affected by Hurricane Harvey and who stands to be affected by Hurricane Irma this week. If you're listening to this right now and you're in an evacuation zone and you have not yet evacuated, my recommendation would be to evacuate. Not a scientist or meteorologist, but good at listening to those people. Best of luck to everyone who is evacuating. You are certainly in our thoughts. And we hope for a speedy recovery for the nation and the world affected by this. And at the end of the day, as investors, our short-term issues, if we're holding United Airlines, we can figure that out when we're talking about the loss of homes and lives, and it's really sad. So, best of luck to everyone. I mean, at this point, there's still time for it to just turn and go back
there
out to the Atlantic. So that would be the ideal situation.
Well, it's just crazy to me that all like these fake videos and fake, I don't want to say hashtag fake news, but like it's not a category six, will mm-hmm. never be a category
yeah.
six.
That's, no such thing.
There's no such thing as a category six hurricane. Uh-huh. But I think once you look at like where it's headed and the track of it, it's decreasing in strength.
Mm-hmm.
So once it hits, at least, I don't know, I think I was looking at ABC News, but once it hit Georgia,
mm-hmm.
going into South Carolina, it looks like it was decreasing into a category three.
Yeah, I think it should be a four by the time it gets to like the Miami area.
Yeah.
So, hopefully that happens. But because no category six, although I did see today, worst category five that has ever been recorded. on Thursday afternoon, the measurements that were coming out of as it was going through the Caribbean islands. So really, really serious storm. And obviously Harvey was incredibly devastating. Again, our thoughts and well wishes with everyone affected. Be safe. Look out for your neighbors. Things of that nature. To wrap things up, as always, reminder that you guys can shoot us an email at podcast@zacks.com if you thought we missed anything or if you'd like us to cover another story. Check out all of our other exclusive audio content at zacks.com/podcasts. Remember to subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you next time on the Zacks Friday Finish Line.